This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A visit to the private prison economy at an inflection point for the industry. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. One consulting company, in a note to investors, offered this conclusion: Jeff Sessions, as Donald Trump's attorney general, would be positive for the private prison industry. CoreCivic or Geo Group are among the stocks there. Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions faced his nomination hearing this week. The attorney general oversees the U.S. Bureau of Prisons, which is in the process, as the Obama administration draws to a close, of cutting its ties with private prison operators. But so far, no facilities have actually been closed. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace traveled to a town in rural Georgia that has staked its future on a private prison.
The town of McRae Helena, population 8,700, is a prison town times two. There's a state prison at one end and McRae Correctional, a private federal prison, at the other. In between is a short strip of fast food chains, a couple hotels, and not much else. Lon Hamilton is outside his restaurant, the Southern Star Grill, greeting lunch customers. He says being near the federal prison helps his business.
Since I am the closest restaurant and the closest motel is next door, we do have the majority of the people that stay here. Last weekend, I think we had 21 that were here visiting.
Hamilton was on the County Economic Development Council when it convinced the corporation, CoreCivic, to build a prison here in the early 2000s.
We spent a lot of money just to get them here, and then, you know, it was a year before they opened.
He says the county expanded its water and sewer infrastructure, put in access roads, and that investment has paid off in taxes and some 350 jobs. When people here heard the prison could be closed down, they launched a letter-writing campaign.
Not only were we doing it, but every other community that had a prison was doing the same thing we were.
Even so, plenty of locals would rather see other types of jobs come in. Sherry Sperlin, a retired school teacher, says being a prison town can feel like a dead end.
You know, you don't see a lot of productivity coming out of prisons. You know, you don't see a lot of output for your input.
Up the street, outside the Huddle House restaurant, Claude Smith is talking to his mom, Pamela Sosa, through her minivan window. She has her chihuahua in her lap.
It's a little boy. His name's Little Man.
When I ask them what it would mean if the prison closed, they both just shake their heads.
You talking about this prison on Longbridge Road?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking of the federal one down there, yeah.
I don't know anybody that works at that prison.
Smith is about to start a new job at a lawnmower factory in town, and his main association with the prison is that it's literally in his backyard.
I can hear him at nighttime and during the daytime on that loudspeaker, I guess, they got down there. If it was left to me, I'd close them all down.
Closing them all down, even just the 13 federal private prisons, is looking less and less likely. The Bureau of Prisons just renewed the McRae contract with CoreCivic for another 2 years, though it did reduce the number of beds. And the next attorney general could decide not to phase private prisons out after all. In McRae Helena, Georgia, I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
With the Trump inauguration 1 week away, several cabinet nominees who will guide economic, labor, and trade policy are yet to be scheduled for confirmation hearings. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Nominees yet to be even scheduled for hearings just a week before Trump is to be inaugurated include hedge fund manager Steven Mnuchin at Treasury and fast food billionaire Andy Puzder for Labor Secretary. Democratic opponents are raising conflict of interest issues in the Puzder nomination. Since he'll enforce the wage and hour laws, Democrats say workers who allege violations at his restaurants should testify. Steven Mnuchin at Treasury might be the most significant delay for the economy. Mnuchin has already signed an ethics agreement to sell investment stakes, including in Goldman Sachs, and an investment fund that is long on Fannie Mae, which Treasury will oversee. Not having a Treasury secretary for a week or two into the new administration shouldn't be too much of a problem, barring a major financial shock or crisis. President Obama's first Treasury secretary, Timothy Geithner, waited 6 days after inauguration to get confirmed.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman at our desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting there. Checking live markets, the FTSE in London is up 0.3%. Dow and S&P futures are up about 0.1% each. Just now, Bank of America published its quarterly results. 40 cents a share, better than expected. Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan are out in about an hour. Banks have had a pretty good couple months, with stocks generally on the rise since the election. President-elect Trump has said that he wants to dial back financial regulations, including parts of Dodd-Frank. How might the future look for big banks in that administration? Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
Cutting back on financial regulations would probably save banks money, says Charles Kane, who teaches at MIT.
A lot of these regulations are incredibly costly to the banks to implement. So at the very least, there will be an impact on the bottom line.
Those changes might take a while. And if banks do save money, that won't necessarily boost earnings, because there are things they want to spend it on. Bob Hedges is a partner at A.T. Kearney.
I think we're going to see that money reinvested in digital identity technology, cybersecurity, artificial intelligence to, you know, improve customer service.
Speaking of, banks need those customers, and a regulation rollback might not help. Lynn Stout is a professor at Cornell.
Deregulation that permits abusive behavior undermines that client and customer trust.
And she says in the long run, losing that trust could hit the banks financially. In New York, I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
And one more set of numbers. There's word that federal airport security personnel confiscated 3,391 firearms in the year just concluded. That's a raid of more than nine a day. The figure is up 28% from the year before. Experts say open carry laws and more concealed weapons permits mean a lot of people just forget it's in there. 83% of the firearms confiscated at airports in the last year were loaded. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.